appreciate our youth singing. And, well, some of those guys look very stoic, don't they? I don't know if they was getting ready for a football game or singing. Appreciate that very, very much. Well, it is good to have Brother Jones with us tonight and his wife and missionaries of Guatemala. Went to school with Brother Jones for a year before he graduated at Norris. And, of course, that means Brother Stone also went to school with him for a year, right? And did y'all graduate that same year? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, man. Brother Jones has aged a little bit while he's been gone, and I didn't want to point that out, but in case you couldn't. And Brother Cart was thinking I was 90 years old this morning or something. I don't know. Sorry, Brother Hinton, I didn't mean that. But he really, really was thinking I was a lot older, and him and I are the same age. He just looks a lot younger. That'll be a blessing later on, right? Yeah. But anyway, well, we've had a good time. I had a great time fellowshipping with these missionaries this afternoon and looking forward to Brother Jones. Brother Jones, you come on.
Well, amen. Preacher, I appreciate it. We certainly do appreciate the Heritage Baptist Church. We are thankful for the years that y'all have supported us since 2005, our last furlough. A lot of things have changed. Y'all aren't renting facilities no more. Amen. Amen. That's got to be a blessing. We are privileged to be a part of your mission family and want to say thank you. As I said this morning in the short testimony, I'll only repeat part of it. 15 years ago, the Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas sent us away. They sent us away in a very similar fashion as the Holy Spirit called Paul and Silas and the church there in Antioch sent them away. We were sent to a specific field, to the people of Guatemala. The people of Guatemala historically are Mayan Indians, and we really didn't know what to expect. But I'm thankful to God for veteran missionaries that had been there many years ahead of us, Frank and Flo Martin, that were there just waiting for us to come down and help them. As a matter of fact, Miss Flo Martin, God used her in my life to call me to the people of Guatemala. Just shortly after my salvation, in 1988, they came to Trinity Baptist Church. I didn't know who they were. They weren't presenting their field. They were just sitting in the service. But if you know Brother Bob Smith, he just won't let a missionary sit in the service. He asked Brother Frank to come up and Miss Flo with him to give a testimony of how the mission work was moving in Guatemala. And at the end of the service, as is customary, he had them stand up in the front of the auditorium so that the congregation could walk by and shake their hand. And I was a new Christian. I'd just gotten saved in July of the same year, had only been in church a few months. So I was just going along with the rest of the crowd. I walked by, shook their hand, and Miss Flo kind of grabbed my hand, pulled me in close, and she said, "Thomas, we're waiting for you to come down and help us." Like, scared me to death. Help you do what? Guatemala? I'm thinking, guacamole? No. I had no idea that Guatemala was a country, or that you say it enunciated like Brother Frank, Guatemala, and not Guatemala, because it does sound like guacamole. But God has been so great. We have been blessed to work with them. We have been blessed to see souls saved. You know, in the beginning, we thought it was an impossibility, because we've seen the hardness of so many people. These are people that come from a historic culture. The Mayan Indians were known to have lived as far back as the time of Christ. But the sad fact is that we as Americans, we learn more about them and know more about them from our studies in school than many of them know about their own culture. when they look to the necessities of life, just survival, or when they're looking for a means to get out of a spot that they might find themselves in. You know, they don't have government to look for. Government's not necessarily on their side. Many of them, because of a multitude of religions in Guatemala, predominantly Catholic, and of the of many of the Mayan spiritist religions that still exist, lie after lie after lie, thinking that they're just going to be lied to again. God giving us the opportunity to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to us, has been a fantastic adventure. And I hope and pray to God that it never gets old. We've been privileged to see two local churches established, the Trinity Baptist Church, our first church in San Martin, Zacatepeques. 6 years after the establishing of that church, they called their first pastor, Brother Hobie Sacfuentes. Brother Hobe is now, it was a man that we had the privilege to train, and he is now, he has left the Trinity Baptist Church and is now working on establishing a church in his hometown. God allowed another man, Brother Leonel Perez, to come, and the Trinity Baptist Church in San Martin is now a well-growing church in what's considered a poor mountain community. You know, they have high days of 50, 60, 70 people. That's one of the larger churches in that poor mountain community, by the grace of God. They're supporting 5 missionaries by the grace of God. We've taught them, you know, nothing different than what Brother Crawford teaches you. It's just as much their responsibility to support missions as it is yours and mine. It's just as much their responsibility as a local New Testament church, given the same decree as our Lord and Savior has given us, to support missionaries, and not just home missions, but world missions, as we. They support 3 home missionaries and 2 national missionaries going to other Spanish-speaking countries throughout Central and South America. God's allowed us to see established the Open Door Baptist Church in Quetzaltenango. This is the most recent work that we've been working with. And our last furlough, Pastor, we went back hoping that that church would be well on its way of calling its own pastor, the young man that we left in charge. But as things happen so many times, we went back and the young man, whether he had different ideals or what, but half the congregation, when we got back, he left and they left with him. So we have been working with the Open Door Baptist Church of Quetzaltenango, and God has continued to do a wonderful work, raising up another young man, being standing on by our side, Brother Miguel Hernandez, seeing people saved almost weekly, either by visitation, mostly by going into homes. God has given us a voracious bus ministry using 3 minivans. And by that bus ministry being able, as you do here, as many bus ministries in the States, reaching out to the kids and the teenagers, being able to get into the homes and witness to the parents. We want to say thank you, because Heritage Baptist Church has been a part of helping us go. We've been allowed of God to help in the establishing of the Temple Baptist Institute in Quetzaltenango. Out of the first church that Brother Martin established, there has been 9 students graduated from that institute that are in other churches working and going in other areas of Guatemala, establishing local New Testament Baptist churches. We have been allowed of God to help in the establishing and even the variable of setting up the first registered independent Baptist seminary in Guatemala, the Bible Baptist Seminary of Quetzaltenango. In 2000 was established, and to date there's been 12 students graduated from that seminary, backed by Landmark Baptist College here in the States. These things are things that we thought an impossibility because of the hardness of so many hearts. A kind people outwardly, but when you talk to them about Christ, or you know, when you mention Christ, they just think another religion. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, and these are verses that God gave me a long time ago, and really, this is what set me to thinking what type of ministry God was going to give me. In verse number 5, chapter 1, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." Anyone who has read the book of Jeremiah knows what type of ministry he had. Told by God to preach, but they wouldn't listen. Even at one point thinking God himself had deceived him, but they would not listen. God touched our heart with Guatemala. And as it's been said, mine eye hath inspired my heart. You'll see in our mission letter that I was working on this afternoon that although we're here on furlough of necessity to report to our supporting churches that, like yourself, have been so faithful, our desire is to be back home in Guatemala. I cared not where or how I lived or what hardships I went through so that I could but gain souls to Christ, said David Brainerd. People do not know the Lord. Who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. I've had family members ask me that. They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted. Said by a massacred missionary bush pilot, Nate Saint, in the late 50s. Went to the Wayodani Indian tribe and made first contact. He and Jim Elliott, who said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." In the footage of the DVD video you're going to see, we've tried to cover what began to be, in our minds, an impossibility, but was not an impossibility with God. You're going to see bus ministry done Guatemalan style. Amen. You're going to see children of untold numbers. See, God's not given my wife and I children naturally, but in Guatemala, we have children by the multitudes. You know, there's a stigma, and as Brother mentioned this morning, there's a stigma, I think, throughout all Latin America, people, especially adults, not wanting to have their photos taken. In Guatemala, they believe that if their photo's taken, their souls taken right along with it. An old Indian stigma. But we're blessed. And we're blessed to call the Heritage Baptist Church one of our fellow laborers. As your pastor has said about prayer, and I said this morning, the finances are important. That's what helps us go. But it's the prayers of God's people is what helps us stay and do the work.
Amen.
Let me tell you one incident. There have been many, but one that sticks out most in my mind. I don't know if people were praying for me, but I know for a certain that God withheld a hand that could have cost my life. As I witnessed to a gentleman who was coming out of the work fields to set the scene, the men of Guatemala in the fields, they have two tools. They have a machete about this long, and they have what's called an asadón. And that asadón is nothing more than a hoe, but it's about this wide, and it's got a blade on it, almost razor sharp. And this man was coming out of the fields with his asadong over his shoulder, his machete down at his side. And I met up with him and I began witnessing to him, speaking with him. And he stopped and listened. And the expression on his face changed. Sometimes it looked angry. Sometimes it looked worried. But a couple of times I saw his hand with that machete in it quiver. One time, it came up about halfway, but like a robot arm, it went back down. And he looked at it, he looked at me, just stunned, and looked at it again. About the time that I asked him if he wanted to receive Christ, he just shook his head no, turned around and walked away, looking at his arm, looking back at me, and walking away as quickly as possible. I didn't get to win him to Christ, but if God hadn't withheld that man's hand, I think he would have hacked me to pieces with that machete. Somebody was praying for me. I don't know who. It's not important, but I know someone was praying for me. Thank you, church, for the years you've afforded us to be your representatives in Guatemala. The DVD presentation is non-narrated. I hope and pray that the pictures tell the story. If we would go ahead and start that now, please. As I said before, we teach the people in Guatemala just as your pastor teaches you. Just this last year in April, the Open Door Baptist Church had its first Faith Promise Missions Conference. And the people of the Open Door Baptist Church, which really, with the children, the teenagers, and the adults that come, are upwards to about 40 people, promised to give up almost 10,000 quetzales to world missions. Now that might sound like a great deal of money. In reality, according to the dollar, it's about $1,600. But for a poor mountain community, people have learned to trust God and learn, according to the Word of God, the necessity to spread the gospel, not just to their own people there, Jerusalem, but both. At the same time, as your pastor said this morning, around the world. We hope and pray that when we get back to Guatemala, we'll still find the people faithful in attending, in giving. I speak almost weekly to Brother Hernandez. He calls. He is not only taking care of the church while we're gone, but he's living in and taking care of our house. And we left an IP telephone hooked up so that we could be reached, and we could reach them at little cost. And he calls us about weekly to give us a report on how things are moving along, to ask prayer requests. And this past week, He, as a youth activity, like Brother Stone had the youth activity yesterday, Brother Hernandez takes the youth on an activity at least once a month. Well, it was a novelty to them, but he brought them to our house, and he called us on the phone. And so every one of our teenagers talked to Kim and I for a few minutes over the IP phone. It was just a tremendous blessing, a blessing to us. And Brother Miguel said it was a blessing to them that many of them, you know, was just asking, even though we affirm them. Cuando regresa hermano Tomás? When's Brother Thomas going to come back? Cuando regresa hermana Kim? They want to know when we're coming back. Our plans are, you know, if God should tarry his coming, our plans are just after Thanksgiving in November. We've been in the States since Christmas. And really, we're still at the beginning of this time of furlough. We have yet to travel any great distances, but about two-thirds, like yourself, of our supporting churches want us to make a visit. We've come to give a report. And we hope and pray that the report that we have given has been favorable. Your mission dollars at work, the people and the souls in Guatemala, Central America, those to your account. We could stand here all night and tell you story after story after story. It's impossible unless you show a great video of an hour or 2 hours to show everything that has taken place. But know this, it's fruit to your account. And we pray to God that there be even more fruit to your account. If you would open your Bibles for just a few moments to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Where does God get missionaries? We know all too well. But according to the Bible, let's review it once again. Starting in verse number 1. Now, There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. As simple as that. Amen. People in the local church that were already active, they were already busy, prophets and teachers, teaching in Sunday school and out soul winning, those are the people that God's going to call to send to the foreign mission field. Those are the people that God is going to call to put into His service. I never thought in my lifetime to have a college education. I was raised in a predominantly Catholic home, raised to the youngest of six children, to be a man's man, to work according to the sweat of my brow, the strength of my hands, to work to the satisfaction of no man, but to my own satisfaction, according to my daddy. And for God to save someone like me as a result of soul winners. Two boys on a Saturday afternoon from the Reapers department of the Trinity Baptist Church, a fifth grader and a sixth grader, came to my door and gave me a little blue track. That's how I got saved. Would have never imagined it. Would have never been a fantasy. If I was to think back where I'd be now, I'd be either dead or in jail because of the type of person that I was, that I know I was, and that God saved me from. I'm no one special. I'm just serving the Lord. Went to Trinity Baptist Church. Got baptized. Got to sit under the preaching of God's Word. Seen what other people were busy doing. Didn't know what I was doing. Started telling people about Christ. Didn't know what it was all about. And after one evening, out on church-wide soul winning, I came back to the house kind of discouraged, despaired. I thought I'd learned how to do this thing, taking the Bible and using the Romans Road and telling people how they could come to know this same Jesus that I knew. I was home about a half hour, getting ready to go to bed, and a knock came on my door. I opened the door, and there was this young lady with tears in her eyes asking me, "Thomas, what you was telling me the other day about Jesus, how can I come to know Him as my Savior?" she said. By the grace of God, the first person that I got to lead to Christ was my next door neighbor. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just doing what I heard preached. Brother Todd Lassiter asked me if I'd be interested in working on a bus. I wasn't a mechanic. I didn't know how to work on a bus. No. He said, "Go out and pick people up." And so I began to go out on a bus route, go out on Saturdays from about 9 o'clock in the morning until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, knocking doors. "Come on, you want to ride the bus?" Or more than that, "You want to know Jesus as your personal Savior." Where does God get His workers? Right here. Now, don't let that discourage you if you're busy and say, "Oh, is God going to call me to the mission field?" Friend, it's the greatest privilege under God's green earth. It's the greatest opportunity. It's the greatest blessing. We've read, and I've quoted from you before, of great missionaries that were part of the one of the greatest missionary movements, modern missionary movements, of the disparage and discouragement and problems. They exist. I'll not lie to you. But when we know Him who's on our side, when we know Christ is right there, we don't let it get us down. Well, most of the time. You could ask my wife. Well, don't ask my wife. But God's workforce is right here. And in these last days in which we live, and I believe they're the last days, if it was even at the door when Jesus walked on the face of this earth, how close is it today? The fields truly are white unto harvest. But where are the reapers? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. It's His harvest. The reapers are right here. You just don't know it yet. Or maybe you do, and you're just not willing to admit it. Thank you, church. We pray that we might be the servants that God's called us to be in your stead.
The fields are wide under harvest, the laborers are few. What has God called you to do? I know He's called all of us to be a witness. He's called all of us to be, to tell others about Jesus, we've said this morning. And when's the last time you told somebody? Amen? We had 100 people absent out of Sunday school this morning. I know there were some on vacation, some sick, others, but we need laborers at Heritage Baptist Church here on Tuesdays and Saturdays and during the week. Not only following up on members and make sure they're okay and encourage them, but to get out and knock a few doors, encourage people to come and be a part, and to know the Lord as their Savior. Listen, that's the hope for them individually. Hope of America is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is hope. Hope around the world is missionaries. The Lord sends people who are working, and He'll send people just like you. He said, "Well, I'm too old, man." No, He'll use anybody. Amen. I always like to point out that if He'll use a raven to feed Elijah, He'd use anybody. Amen. How'd you like to got some meat out of a raven's mouth? I know. He'll use anybody. And He'll certainly use us. Amen. I appreciate Brother Card and Brother Thomas both today. Again, missions. Missions is the lifeblood and heart of the church. And we must be proactive in making it that way. Because if we don't, it'll just slip and become secondary. It's got to remain in the forefront. And I hope we as Heritage Baptist Church will continue on the road that we've been going and making missions number one. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of invitation. Hymn 153, I Surrender All. What appropriate hymn tonight. Maybe tonight there's some things you need to come and settle with the Lord. I tell you what, I would never want to be a Jonah. Never be a Jonah. Don't be running from the Lord. Whatever the Lord's called you to do, do it. Lord touches your heart about witnessing somebody, do it. Lord touches your heart about working in the church in some capacity, do it. Wherever He leads, I'll go. And certainly tonight, very appropriate. I surrender all after we pray. Lord, we thank You for these missionaries tonight who have shown us pictures. Lord, made us again very much aware of the need around the world for the gospel. Lord, it's not about, we know it's not about digging water wells and it's not about feeding people. Lord, it's about feeding their souls and seeing them saved. And Lord, we know that through that, You promise to take care of them and supply their needs for them. Lord, we pray tonight if there's someone here who does not know You as Savior, they pray they might get saved tonight. Lord, if there's some here tonight who are seeking direction and guidance, we pray they'll get those things settled tonight. In Jesus' name.